Jesus talked about death to his disciples on many, many occasions. And yet somehow or another we tend to think that death will go away, that we can ignore it. It won't go away because death awaits all of us. There's one thing you can be sure of in this life, and that is that you are going to die. I wonder how many people realize that death can come very untimely. I remember one funeral I had to conduct in my student church. Ironically, this girl, 19 years of age, was the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Ron Baker. It's incredible to have a Ron Baker in your church when you are by that name. And as I looked down on the casket and I spoke to Barbara's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Ron Baker, I was reminded that it could have been my own daughter. Barbara was killed in a motor vehicle doing 90 miles an hour. Lovely Christian girl who decided to go her own way and get away from the things of the Lord and become unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And it was just at that time that this concept of shacking up together was beginning to become the in thing. And they were both killed. He was a Roman Catholic. She was a Baptist. And we had a double service, one in the Baptist church and one over in the Catholic church. And then we buried them together. But you know, I've often thought back on that particular funeral and remember vividly that I made very little impression upon the people. Primarily because they didn't want to accept the fact that death is a reality. And many of us don't want to accept the fact that death is a reality. But let me say this to you, that closely allied with death in our society today is alcohol consumption. Now, anyone who wants to know can readily discover that alcohol produces an abundance of death, agony, and extreme social problems. The percentage is very high regarding deaths on the road that are alcohol related. The age span of life is very, very young with those who are killed on the road. And alcohol in itself is like a giant monster in our society. It's killing many people, not only on the road. It's killing people in many other ways. It's mentally killing people. But then there are other people who are innocent and who are taken alive on our roads because alcohol becomes the motive for murder. Then there are many others who are crippled. There are many others who are morally weakened. But the glaring tragedy is simply this. Because this monster fertilizes the economy, many people are saying, isn't it nice? Isn't it nice? But the truth is simply this. At the end of the niceties is death. Now we live in a time when some people like to think there are no limits to what human intelligence can do. We're living in a very fascinating age. We can fly out into space. And in many ways, we can control our environment. Yes, we can do many things. But we cannot control death. A very well-known and a very well-respected medical doctor just recently wrote in a medical journal, in my opinion, he said, death is an insult. It is the stupidest, ugliest thing that can happen to a human being. Now, does this not reflect the attitude of many people today? Many people just don't want to talk about death. And yet the Bible speaks about death continually. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Philippi, speaks vividly about death. What does he say in the reading that was read to us? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. But he was dealing with death. And you know, you read some funny stories about death, and you get some funny illustrations. And I came across this one, and I think it's very fitting. And it's about a family who were out for a Sunday afternoon drive, and they drove past a cemetery. And the young child said to his mother, what's that? And the evasive mother answered and said, oh, that's a stone orchard. And there are many people who are trying to evade the reality of death. You do not tell children that a cemetery is a stone orchard. When I was involved in evangelism, I'm constantly talking on some of these subjects, I used to tell people that when there is a death in the family, teach the children the reality of it. I lost track of how many women in particular who were still angry inside because they had never gone and seen their mother in the casket. I want to assure you that one of the best things that can ever be done to any loved one is to show them the one who has passed on in the open casket. You may not agree with that, but years later, when someone has to deal with that person in a counseling ministry, the counselor wishes that that had been done. I don't believe that children should ever be told evasive stories about death. I like the old idea, because I'm old-fashioned. I like the old idea of loved ones dying at home. And I like to think that Johnny can go in and talk to Grandpa each night, and then when Grandpa slips away through the gateway of death, that little child knows that Grandpa has gone to heaven. We have depersonalized a lot of these biblical truths today. And because we have depersonalized these truths, we are causing people today to evade reality. I've sat with a number of people dying. Some dying from cancer, some dying from other diseases. As I've told you before, I think the greatest moving moment for me was the 16-year-old girl who died in my arms from heroin addiction. Death is not to be feared. We must learn how to die. And in the olden days, when they died at home, the children learned how to cope with death. But also, let me say to you tonight, there are no second chances in the finality of death. But the thing I want to teach you tonight from the Word of God is this, that there is victory over death. And this victory is in Jesus Christ. And Paul brings home this truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 57 through 58. And what does he remind us of? He reminds us that our Lord Jesus Christ won a victory over death, not by walking away from it, but by going through it. Now, this work of the Lord Jesus Christ transforms every Christian from a victim of death to a victor over death. But the tragedy is that we will not learn of and we will not claim the victory by ignoring death. We will realize the victory when we face up to our inevitable encounter with death, in whatever form it will come, whether it be cancer, whether it be that we are killed on the road, or whether we have a heart attack or whatever the cause and we just die, we are to be ready for death. And I think we need to be preparing ourselves to die. I am. I've got my funeral service all made out. The hymns are picked. And the preacher's to preach on a certain passage of Scripture, and if he doesn't, I'll come back and haunt him. But I want to ask you tonight, are you ready to die? Do you really know Jesus Christ personally tonight? And do you have the assurance of eternal life? Because if you have the assurance of eternal life, you will not fear death. And if you are preparing to die, you are living under the blood of the heavenly Lamb. And the angel of death has no part with you. But the angel who will carry you into the bosom of our Lord is waiting for his instructions when to do it. I can't think of anything more beautiful than to be carried into the presence of Christ by angels. But you are going to be carried into the presence of Christ by angels. I think I taught you that when we did the series on angelology. But what a wonderful thing it is to know that your soul is insured and death will not have the last word. You know, we do a lot of things in the insurance business. We insure the car, the furniture. You know, and if we've got a dog that's worth a few bob, we'll insure that dog. And, you know, there's one next door that last night I would have liked to insure it in a different way. He kept barking till 12:45 this morning. But we insure almost everything today except our soul. And do you know the greatest policy that we can ever have was given to us at Calvary. But we've got to pay the premium along the way by living the Christian life. So I want to ask you tonight, is death for you an angel or an enemy? You see, death was the enemy that our Lord Jesus Christ fought on the cross, and he fought it with the last drop of his blood. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Just think of our Lord for a moment. He knew precisely when he was going to die. He knew how he was going to die on the cross. He knew that it was going to be by means of crucifixion. He knew all of that. He knew that even before he was born in the Bethlehem manger. But because of you and I being sinners, he knew that he had to conquer and destroy death at the cross. You see, the great teaching of the Bible is that death is an enemy. And if you hate the thought of death, take heart, because God hates it also. And if at times your heart is torn into a thousand angry questions when you see an untimely death, and sometimes we do. We see a little child get hit by a motor vehicle and killed, or we see people killed on the road in an untimely death. I want to assure you that you are being joined in your anger and your agony by Almighty God. You see, in the Bible, there is every indication that the Lord Jesus Christ looked at every death he confronted as a personal insult to his Father. So in his heart, our Lord said, "Death will not do this to my people, to the people of my Father, and the people my Father loves." And that is why he went all the way through the grave to win victory for you and for me. When he was here on earth, our Lord did something to show that he could conquer death. He raised Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, and the son of the widow of Nain, to prove that he is the conqueror of death. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, just as a man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And the Bible also goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15:26 that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And so in the last verses of that chapter, we are told how it happens. The trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. And then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? You see, the sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that he gives us victory tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for the Christian, death is an angel. An angel that takes us into the presence of Christ. And for every one of you here tonight, there is an angel standing by, waiting for the instructions which will be his when you pass physically out of this world. And he will take you into the presence of Christ. See, the one who made it possible for us to have victory over death is the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you really belong to Christ? Or you've received your eternal salvation? You've done all the right things so far, but you don't want to face death. You don't want to let go of those material things that you have. You don't want to let go of your loved one. And what are you really saying? You would rather have your loved one stay here with you than to be with the beloved. You know, you want to think about it. When Beryl and I walked in the Valley of Death in 1983 together, when she had the tumor behind the gland in the forehead, and the specialist said, "Time is short." As we walked together, we talked about death, we talked about living, and of all things, through the weeping and the laughing, we talked about remarriage. And she asked me, she said, "Would you ever remarry?" And I said, "No," I said, I wouldn't remarry. And I made up my mind that if she was taken, I would have gone on till he called me to be with him and her on my own. Now, that's not everybody's scene, I know. some people. The moment a beloved is taken, they immediately feel insecure. They've got to have someone. So within a short span of time, they remarry. And sometimes remarriage in haste is the most regrettable thing that people do. But many people don't want to let go of a loved one. I can't think of anything more beautiful than letting go of a loved one. And it was when we walked and we cried and we laughed and we prayed and we both stood and held hands together. Young people always do that. And as we held hands together, we said, well, Lord, it's what you want that really counts. If you want her to go to be with you, that's it. Full stop. And I was prepared to take my hands off my loved one. The lesson I learned in rearing my kids when I made so many mistakes. She was going to a far better place if it was her time. But miraculously, he stepped in and she didn't even get to the operating theater. I don't know how he did it, but I'm not asking him. He did it. He removed the tumor. Oh, we didn't run around looking for all these faith healers. We went straight to him and said, if it is your will. But have you come to grips with that? Or are you still emotionally insecure? Do you panic every time something happens to a loved one? Death is not an enemy because you have been redeemed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the great doctrine of redemption, you have your abode in heaven because he said, I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. Now, it's very hard to get the reality of this into everyday terms. Some people like history. I like history. I have a son-in-law who's a history teacher. He just loves history. And he and I like to swap ideas about history. And we like a lot of ancient history. And I came across this story about Napoleon. Of course, Napoleon, having escaped exile, he enlists some of the young men of France. And he sets out again to conquer the world. Now, there was another military man called Commander Wellington of England. And he took his forces to meet Napoleon at Waterloo. And all the people knew that if Napoleon were successful, war would follow and many young men would lose their lives. And so a communication system was devised to get the message back to England as soon as possible across the English Channel. And so men were stationed at some very high places along the banks of the Channel between Waterloo and London. And they were there with what was then known and still known in the Navy as a semaphore flag. And these flags were to relay the message when the battle was over. And so the fighting had stopped and the flags began to wave. And the message was being relayed across the English Channel. And on the shores of England, that is on the English side, the folk could read the letters, Wellington defeated. And then a fog prevented any further message. But the words, Wellington defeated, which were relayed to the English people, were devastating. But then after a little while, the fog lifted and the flags began to wave again. And the first two words were repeated, Wellington defeated. Then the message continued, the enemy. Now, when the people of England got the total message, the sadness and the despair of what they thought was defeat was turned into the joy of victory. The battle was won and the enemy defeated. As we look back in retrospect to Calvary, we see the greatest of all battles that was won by our Lord Jesus Christ. And in him we have victory over the enemy, namely death. And so today, every born-again believer who is totally committed to Christ can claim this victory. But I want to ask you again tonight, for you, is death an enemy or an angel? If death is an enemy, then there is something wrong with your Christian experience. There's something wrong with your Christian life. You don't understand the doctrine of death. But if for you, as a born-again believer, redeemed in the precious blood of Christ, if death is an angel, then you understand only too well the implications of Calvary and you understand at this precise moment the true meaning of eternal life. And so I want to encourage you tonight to start to read the Bible. Not hard to do. Just get a concordance, have a look at the word called death, and start to read what the Bible teaches about death. And until you do it, you're going to react like Peter did. When our Lord told the disciples that he was going to go to Calvary, he was going to face death, he was going to be crucified, and on the third day he would rise again. And you know what Peter said? He said, "No, Lord, this is not going to happen." Peter had not come to grips with death. And that is why Peter denied Christ three times. How many times we, like Peter, deny the Lord Jesus Christ? And we can deny the Lord Jesus Christ when we will not accept the reality of death. Those who are prepared to lose their life for my sake shall find it. You see, we talk about being committed to Christ, but we're not prepared to be totally committed. Because for many of us, death is still an enemy and not an angel. I'm going to suggest that if you're not totally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that during the singing of the invitation hymn, as the Spirit of God so touches your heart, you're going to get up out of your seat or stand. When we stand to sing, you're going to slip out into the aisle and you're going to come forward and you're going to say, "Tonight I want to be totally committed." And I've heard tonight one area of my life that is not totally committed. You see, that's why so many of us have no power in our lives. This is why so many of us have no blessing in our lives, because we are not prepared to hand over to the Lord in total commitment. We talk about it. We sermonize about it. But just imagine, not that I ever would, but just imagine if I stood up here with an automatic machine gun and pulled the trigger and was about to fire bullets all down through there. There are different parts of the world that you will travel, and I've been in some of those parts of the world where people carry machine guns. I remember a disturbance in Rome where machine guns were quickly pulled. I remember being in Tel Aviv, walking under the barrage of guns. But if someone did something stupid, those machine guns would fire. And the invitation hymn tonight is 228. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he is waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly and tenderly Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home. As we sing the hymn, be honest with the Lord, and if you need to come for rededication, if you're not born again, you're not a Christian, and you know it, you come and receive the salvation which is in Christ. Just come to the front of the church. There'll be people who'll pray with you. Thank you. moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death's night is coming, coming for you and for me.